The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school the mitzvot. This daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Nuria Ben Noga Shniftar Bekitsur Yamim Veshanim Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Daf Nun. Today's daf is being studied the Anun Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Anun Nishmat Menuhemet Shenafter the Kitzur Yamim Veshanim Bazal Bat Frida. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Tet Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom, and we learned in the Mishnah Ke Maaseu Bachol Kach Maaseu B'Shabbat. We're learning now the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. What they did was, according to the Mishnah, they would take a vessel during the week, that is, and the vessel was Kodesh, and they would go and draw the water for the Nisuch HaMayim, and then they would bring it to the Bet HaMikdash, and then of course they would bring it up to the Mizbeach and pour it into the bowls. Actually, the bowl that was on top of the mizbeach that was designated for the nisuch hamayim, and then it would fall into the shittin, into the drains, and it would go, according to one opinion, into the lul, right, to that little area, according to another opinion, into the tehom, under the ground. And the Gemara said that the same process that was done during the week for nisuch hamayim was also done on Shabbat, except for two differences. Difference number one, they had to draw it mi'ereb Shabbat. Because obviously you can't draw it on Shabbat because you can't carry. How are they going to carry the water from Mayana Shiluach to the Bet HaMikdash? So they would draw it from Erev Shabbat. Secondly, they would use a vessel that was not sanctified, was not consecrated. Now, we understand the reason. Why would they use a non-consecrated vessel? Because the halakha says like this, when you have something in a consecrated vessel, it becomes Kodesh. Anything that becomes intrinsically Kodesh now is subject to the law of Lina. Lina means that anything that stays in a Keli Kodesh overnight becomes Pasul. Now if you're going to collect this water on Friday afternoon on the Erev Shabbat, now it's going to sit in this Keli Kodesh overnight. By the time you go in the morning Shabbat to do the Nisuch HaMayim, it's Pasul because it's subject to Lina. You see, all week long, you had no problem. Because you go during the day, you collect the water, and then you pour it on the Mizbeah. So therefore, you could put it in Keli Kodesh. However, on Erev Shabbat, the Gemara's assumption is that what? The Mishnah's assumption is you cannot put it in Keli Kodesh, so it will not become sanctified, so it will not be subject to the law of Lina. So now the Gemara's going to analyze this point. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'amai. Why? What's the problem? Naiti b'mikudeshet. Still, you should be able to bring it in a mikudeshet, in a kli mikudeshet. Rashi. Dekas al kadatach. Three lines on the bottom. En a keli mikadeshan kedushat aguf lepasel belina. Ela imken da'ato shiyikadeshenu hakli. So the Gemara is giving rules. At this point, we're thinking for a keli to make what's in it kadosh, you have to have kavana to make it kadosh. So therefore, what's the problem? Let them take it in a vessel that's kodesh without kavana, which means we'll tell the guy that's drawing the water don't have intent to make it kodesh. Therefore, you have no problem. Or as she says, im yesh b'miyotem mikishiur en reuim lechli ve'en akli mikadeshan de'en mikadeshin ela ha'ra'u ilahem. Another rule the Gemara espouses is like this. We know the shi'ur, according to Hachamim, of the Mayim, Nisuch HaMayim is three log. Okay? So the halakha says like this, according to some opinions, for a kli to sanctify what's in it, it has to have the proper measure. But if you put more than the proper measure, the kli cannot be kadeshed. So therefore the Gemara is very simple. Let them take a kli kodesh, let them put four log. Once you're putting more than the shi'ur, the kli is only mekadesh, the prescribed measure. Once you put more, it doesn't work. So the Gemara is really giving two options how to use a kli kodesh. The Mishnah went out of its way and said, no, don't use a kli kodesh. And the Gemara said, well, why shouldn't you use a kli kodesh? Either let the guy not have kavanah that the kli should be mekadesh, or let him put more than three lugin, and you won't have a problem. So why are you going out of your way to tell me davka kli sheno mekodeshin? So the Gemara is going to offer three answers to this question. Answer number one: Amar ze'iri kasabar en shiur lamayim v'chli sharet mekadeshin shelo midat. First answer. Yeah, both these rules that you said don't apply. This opinion holds that a kli, first of all, can make kaddish even more than the prescribed measure. So putting in four lug is not going to help you. And even if you don't have kavanah, still the kli kodesh is mekaddish. Right, so therefore, no option. Dashi en shi'ur lamayim. Two lines on the bottom. She'afilu yotan mishlosha lugin ru'im lanasech. Which means you could put the Torah, when it says three log is the minimum, but you can put also more than that. The lo pirshabim Torah shiura. Really, the Torah didn't even give a explicit shiur la elkach reuyin leklihim. Which is even more than three is considered ra'uy. The kli miyad mekadesham, and the kli immediately is going to sanctify them. Dichtiv kol anogeya bahem yikdash. Anything that touches the keli because ve'afilu eno rotze shiyikadeshenu ad mahar. And even if you want to delay the kiddusha, not going to help. Because why? A kli mekadeshan miyad shelo midaat. So that's Zaidi's answer. That what? You have no way out. You're going to have to use a non-sacred keli, because even if you put more, even if you don't have kavanah, things are going to become kadosh. Then it's going to be subject to the law of Lina. Now, the Gemara says that the imaiti b'mekudeshet if selu lehu belina. If you're going to bring it in a sanctified vessel, it's going to be subject to the law of lina. Hezkiah Amar. Hezkiah gives the second answer. Kli sharet en mekadeshin ela midat. This is not listen. Kli kodesh sharet only becomes kadosh willingly. Fine. So seemingly, you have a way out. Let them fill up the water in this vessel over here, shilo midat. Without having kavanah, you have no problem. And really, when Skiya says, you'd be able to do that. What's the problem? V'gezerah. Make a gezerah. Sheme yomru ledat nitkadshu. Which means we're worried what the people are going to say. That's a marit ayin issue. Which is the people might come along and say, hey, these guys, when they put the water in the vessel, had kavanah for it to become kadosh. And what happened? It stayed overnight. There's no law of lina by the nisuch ha-mayim. Now they'll come next year, and they'll come and do the same thing. Now they're going to pour a mayim that was subject to lina, and it's going to pasul. Right. So what Hezkiah is really worried about is a potential disaster that can come out of it by letting them put it in a kli kodesh. That's she, Hezkiah Amar. Havadai matzit lemishma' mina te'en shi'ur lamayim. Hezkiah says, for sure, en shi'ur lamayim. There's no shi'ur of how much water fine you can put in the keli, which means once you put more than the water, the shi'ur, the keli will become kadosh. It doesn't matter. En shi'ur lamayim. So the item that you put in there is going to be kadosh. However, aval kiddush shelo midat lo shamein al mina. But the issue is kavanah. The reason why the Mishnah says don't bring it in a mekudeshet, the guy that's watching, the next day, he says, you're going to pour the water out of a kli sharet. He didn't think that what yesterday they put it in the kli sharet. And since there's no shiur lamayim, even if they put four or five lugin, what's going to happen? The kli sharet is going to mekadeshet. Kedeshu makeli. And he's going to see them pouring it on the Mizbayah. They're going to say that lina is not a problem by Nisachim. And what's going to happen? A destruction is going to come out of it. Well, next year, they're going to come and take stuff in a keli sharet and be subject to lina. And they're not going to know. They're going to put it on the Mizbayah. So really, according to Hezkiah, his answer is that what? One of the two rules don't apply. is the first opinion of Za'idi. Za'idi's answer is what? Both rules don't apply, which means, really, even if you put more than the prescribed measure, it's Kodesh. Even if you don't have Kavanah, it's Kodesh. According to Hizkiyah, Hizkiyah says, if you put more than the prescribed measure, it's going to be Kodesh. But what? You have to have Kavanah for it to become. You have to have Kavanah. Oh, so you have a simple answer. If you don't have Kavanah, nothing can happen. So let that be the answer. Don't have Kavanah. You're right, but the Mishnah is worried that if you're not going to have Kavanah, people are not going to know you didn't have Kavanah. They're going to think you had Kavanah, and if they're thinking that, then there was Lina, then it's going to come out a Hurba. Comes the third answer. Amar Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai Amar Rav Zera. Afilu tema yesh shi'ur lamayim. I'll tell you, the first rule, yesh shi'ur lamayim, even if you put more than the prescribed measure, it's not kadosh. Yesh shi'ur lamayim. Not even. Yesh shi'ur lamayim. You gotta be exact. Mm-hmm. Right? V'chli sharet en mekadoshin ela midat. And I'll tell you what, kli sharet doesn't become kadosh only willingly. So therefore you have no, should have no problem over here. Which means you have no problem. Let them either put it in more than three log, or let them not have kavanah. The problem is gezerah. Shemme yomru l'kiddush yadayim v'raglayim mil'an. When you see them fill up this water in this vessel, you don't know what they're filling it up for. Could be for something else, another ritual. Another ritual that used water in the Beit HaMikdash was Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. They used to wash the hands of the Kohanim, their hands and their legs, with water. Now sometimes they used to take the water from, not the Kiyor, the sink, they used to take it from Mayan HaShilawah, a couple of times a year. So therefore, what are we worried about? They're going to come along and they're going to say, oh, look what they're doing over here. They're taking water, more than three log, they're taking 100 log. Now, if it's taken for Nisuch HaMayim, it's not going to be Kodesh, because you're taking more than the prescribed measure. But they're not going to know it's for Nisuch HaMayim. They're going to think it's for Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. And when it comes to Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, even more than three log, the keli is Mekadeshet. And therefore, they're going to see now that you're taking a and the kli is going to mikadesh because even more than the prescribed measure by nisuch by kiddush adayim is kodesh, and what they're going to use it the next day, and therefore it was subject to lina, and therefore it's going to come out of hurba by kiddush adayim v'raglayim. They're going to say that the laws of lina don't apply. Again, there's a big difference between nisuch hamayim and kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Kiddush adayim v'raglayim, it doesn't matter how much water you put in the keli. In shi'ur. Doesn't matter, because you can use as much water as you want. Now, these guys, when they fill up the water, they're filling it up for nisuch. Therefore, they put more than the shi'ur. More than the shi'ur, no, nothing. No kedusha. Now, they know what they're doing. The problem is, the people watching, they say, oh, they must be filling up this keli for kedusha David Aglaim. And doesn't matter if they put 4 or 5 or 10 or 100 lugin in there. Doesn't matter. In shi'ur, lamayim. And therefore, they're going to say, this water indeed is kadosh. Oh, once this water is kadosh, now they're using it the next morning. That means it went through lina. This water really is pasul. But they're going to say, if they used it, must be that by the law of Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, lina is not a law. And then what's going to happen? Well, now they see that they put it on the Mizbeah. Okay, but bottom line, since they poured it in for the purpose of Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, and therefore it was lina, now they'll say that when they pour it on the Mizbeah, lina is not a problem for the Mizbeah, because they see them pouring it on the Mizbeah the next day. The point is, when they put it in, they did it with something that was shayach for Kiddushah. Let's read it in Nashim, because she says, Gezerah. Actually, let's go to Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai Amar, Afilu tema yesh shi'ur lamayim. Even if you want to say that there is a shi'ur for the water. And if you put more, there's no problem. Afilu achi nafak min ha'horba. Still there's going to be a horba. How? Kizerah, shimmen yomru li kiddush adayim v'raglayim. The Kohen Gadol mil'um. Maybe you filled it up for the Kohen Gadol. The kedshum b'chli. She'en mekadshim yadayim v'raglayim ele b'mayim mekudashim. Which means, you have to have sanctified water for kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Dumya d'chiyor. Where do they normally get the water from? From the sink. All the water in the sink is Kodesh. Shenimshach b'shem namishcha. Umekadesh et memav. Vehem nekidush yadayim v'raglayim. Af kiton shel zahav. So this golden vessel that they filled up. Shayu osin lechbodo shel kohen gadol lekadesh shemenu yadav v'raglayim. Let me say that yomah. Bekudash haya. It was holy. Which means the people are going to say for sure when they filled it up, their kavanah was for what? Kedusha.
Right.
Because it has to be similar to the kiyor. When they take the money, when they take the water from the kiyor, isn't it Kodesh?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the water in the kiyor is Kodesh. So therefore, when they filled it up over here, they're going to say what? It must have been Kodesh for Kedusha Adam Raglaim. And there's no shi'ur, there's no maximum. Shafilu abba kuflugin. Now the next day, they see they're taking that water, pouring it on the Mizbeach. Hold it, this water is subject to Lina.
Mm.
Why is it subject to Lina? Because it has both properties. First of all, they filled it up for Kedusha. And number two, there's no Shi'ur on how much you fill it up. And therefore, the Keli is going to make it. So for sure, they're going to think this item that was left overnight was subject to Lina. So it's Pasul. Now what do they do? They pour it on the Mizbaya.
Right.
So what are they going to say? Oh, must be there's no Lina by Nisuch. And as she's Amri, En Lina Mu'elet Benesachim. So therefore, that's the third answer. So let's review the three answers of the Gemara. You have Ze'idi. Ze'idi says, your premise is wrong. Bottom line, there's no shi'ud for the women, no matter how much water you put in, and you don't need kabbanah, so therefore you have no option. Second answer, according to, is Hizkiyah. Hizkiyah comes along and says, that what, really I'll tell you, in shi'ud lamayim. There's no shi'ud for the water. And therefore, if there's no shi'ud for the water, the chawra, it's going to sanctify it. However,
you need kabbanah.
So the Gezeraz over here, that what? That you're going to come to fill it up, and the people are going to think you had
Kavanah,
and they're going to see the following day you used it. Now it's going to be Pasul. Next year they're going to come and use it as well. The Gemara's last answer is the answer of Rabbi Zerah. Actually, Rabbi Anai, in the name of Rabbi Zerah, that says, really, I'll tell you that what? There's no inyan of the keli cannot be mekadesh more than the shi'ud, which means really once you put more than the amount, it's not kadosh.
Right.
So what's the problem over here? You don't need kavana. If I put more than the shi'ud, nothing can happen. Beautiful. Still, you're going to make a gezerah. What's the gezerah? I'm worried that they're not going to know what I'm filling it up for. They're going to think I'm filling it up for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. There. For sure they're going to think I had kavanah for kedusha, because it has to be like the kiyor. Just like the kiyor is holy from the inception, so too this water is holy from the inception. And also what? I can put as much as I want. And now they're going to say I left it overnight. Now it's pasul for lina, and I put it on the mizbeach. They're going to say that there's no din of lina by nesachim. And next year they're going to come and do it like a ta'ilah. So therefore, penesachim, as she says clearly, amri en lina mu'elit benesachim. Because they're not using it for kedusha dam raglaim. Pouring on the Mizbaya. The next one, they see them pouring on the Mizbaya. Oh, what are they doing over here? Oh, so this item in the keli was subject to Lina, because the Kavanah was for Kedusha Daim Viraglaim, and they put more than the shoe, and it doesn't matter. And therefore, Lina applied. Now they poured it on the Mizbaya, and therefore, you're going to see Lina does not apply. It continues. Nishpecha o Nitgalta. So we learned in the Gemara and Mishnah, it says if the water spilled out on Shabbat, or the barrel was opened, revealed, so that water becomes pasul. And therefore, you have to take alternate water from the kiyor. You cannot go back to Mayana Shiloh because it's carrying. So you just have to take alternate water from the kiyor. Now, we understood that the reason why gilui is no good, Rashi explained, because you're worried that maybe overnight a snake came into the water since it was revealed and had access to it, drank some of the water and placed some of its venom in the water. Now, instead of having 3 log, you're going to have 2.9 log of water and 1 point of poison. And then you're not going to have the shi'ud. So the Gemara says, why? What's the problem? Ve'amai, what's the problem? Le'ebir b'misaninit. Why didn't you place the water in a strainer? That she says, misanenet, shemisanenin ba kunditon. In Nashi's time, there was a certain drink called kunditon. Kemo she'osim ba'ale hanuyot, she talui kemin kevara, they have a certain like strainer. Ubo avkat rocher, they have certain spices. V'yayin, and they put the wine and the spices. They pour it through the strainer. V'tachtei kili, and under the strainer there's a vessel. V'akunditim mistanin netocho. By pouring the wine over the spices, the wine gets a flavor of the spices, and then drains through the colander like and collects on the bottom. So the Gemara is assuming, what are you worried about? You're worried about poison. So the next day, take a strainer, right, and pour the mayim, pour the mayim into the strainer. The poison, what the Gemara is assuming, is going to float to the top, is going to stay on top, and the water will go through. So you're able to at least get the shoot of the water without out of the poison. So Gemara says, "Ve'amai le'abid b'misanenet." Why are you telling me mayim migulim is pasul? The chaura, you could put it through a misanenet. So the Gemara says, "Lema matnitin de'lo k'rabi nehamya." So we're going to say that if the Mishnah doesn't give us an option of putting it in the misanenet, that our Mishnah cannot be going like Rav Nehemiah. Why? Tetanya, because we have a braita. Misanenet yesh bo mishum gilui. Which means, why don't you leave the water in a misanenet overnight? Now the misanenet, again, has an upper colander like that has holes on the bottom of it. Those are the water can go through, and that's placed over a keli. Right? So it's really the bottom keli is covered. The top of the misanenet, where the water is going through, is obviously opened, but the water falls through the holes and goes through the bottom keli. Now, according to Tanna Kamma, this braita, misanenet yesh bo mishum gilui, Rashi, im hinichu belo shemira. Let's say you left it in this apparatus without watching it, unattended. Kishiur shiyat gilui. The amount of time that would make it pasul for gilui. Meforash ba'kol shu'atin. Kedeshi yitzin nahash mitahat ozin kli v'yishte v'yazor le'odo. Which is the amount of time that it would take a snake to crawl up to the top, drink a little, and then go back down. Basunah b'shtiyah, then become asur b'shtiyah. So the first Tana holds that leaving it in this straining apparatus is going to be, but it's like it's open. Now this Tana does not make a difference between if the water is on top or the water is on the bottom, which is even if the water now fell to the bottom and it's really covered, it doesn't matter. It's considered opened and it was pasul. Now, Amar Rabbi Nehemia. Rabbi Nehemia says, hold it, what are you talking about? Ematai, when do we say it's a problem? Bizman Shat Tahtona Migule. It's only a problem when the bottom receptacle is revealed. Aval Bizman Shat Tahtona Michuse. But if the bottom vessel is covered by the top strainer, even if the top one is revealed, there's no problem of gilui. Why? Because the poison of the snake is similar to a sponge that floats. Nice. And it stands in its place, which means once already you have the top, right? Even if it's revealed. So what are you worried about? A snake is going to come and put poison in that revealed water? So what? The snake's poison floats. It doesn't go down. And therefore, so long as the bottom, which is really the sifted water, that water is pure. So what are you about? The top is revealed. A snake might have came and did something with it. So what? Let it put its poison in it. That poison is never going to get through the colander because it floats on top. So therefore, from the fact that the Mishnah did not give me the option to be misanen, right? So obviously you see the Mishnah is not going like Rav Nehemiah, because according to Rav Nehemiah, a misanen is a perfect way to even store the water. You know what they should have done in the Beit HaMikdash? Right.
Put it on there.
Friday night, they get the Friday afternoon, they get the water. You worried about migule? You worried about it to be revealed, stuff like that? No problem. Get this sifter over here. Put the water on top. Let the water now strain through the bottom, and let it be overnight. What are you worried about? A snake coming to put its poison on the top? Let it put its poison. It will.
Yeah, but
the poison is not going to go through. So from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't give you that option, must be the Mishnah is going like the rabbis. Because the rabbis said, even if you store it in a mitzanenet, whether it's the top or whether it's the bottom, it doesn't matter, because they hold the poison doesn't float. They hold that if the snake is going to put the poison on the top, it's going in. It's going to get in there. And therefore, yeah, so therefore, if the mitzanenet is not an option, understand? Comes the Gemara and says, no. Afilu temar binehamya. I can say our Mishnah is even going on Nehamya. What do you mean? I thought he holds the sifter is a good option. Why did the Mishnah then say put a sifter? When did the Mehamya say that a sifter is a good option for sifting out water from poisonous snake? That's for a regular guy. However, about the gavoa, but you're in the Beit HaMikdash now. This is for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mi Amar? Is he going to say such a thing? Give this item to yours, to a sar, to a governor. Is he going to accept such a thing? Or is he going to show you favor? Amar Hashem Sadaot? You're giving me the stuff over here? Stuff that was in a strainer, that the snake went in it, that you had to sift it. Go try to give that water to a general. You think he's going to be appeased by it? Now you want to put that stuff on the Mizbeah? Which means he agrees. The sifter works. The poison's not going to go down. And if, even if it was revealed overnight, the water technically is okay. But that's for a human being, a regular guy. You're going to serve that to God? Water that had to be sifted from poisonous snake. Try to give that to a governor and see what he tells you. So therefore the Mishnah that says a strainer is not an option can even be going like Gam Nehamya. So let's review the point. The Gemara's question was, hey, you're telling me you have a problem of Gilui. Why do you have a problem of Gilui? Just take the water, put it in the strainer, and leave it. Oh, must be the Mishnah is not going to Gam Nehamya. Because the Mishnah must be the rabbis that hold, strainer doesn't help. Because bottom line, even the stuff that's on the bottom, you have to be concerned. Why? Because the poison will go through, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, no, I can even tell you it's going like the Hamyad, the Mishnah. And what? The reason why you can't use it is because of the principle of Akrina, Akribeu Na'a Lefechatecha. Hadran, Alach, Lula, Barava. Okay, we start the new Perek Hamishi. Okay, the Mishnah, this Perek discusses the mitzvah of the Nisuch HaMayim and the different procedures surrounding it. We learned in the previous Perek about the flute that used to play its music during the Simcha Bet HaShoevah ceremonies. Now the Simcha Bet HaShoevah was done throughout the holiday. However, playing instruments is asur on Yom Tov and on Shabbat. Hakamim made a gezerah because we're worried that the instrument might break and you might come to fix it, and that would be the transgression of Mekeh B'Patish. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Halil Hamisha V'Shisha. Sometimes they would blow the flute during the Simcha Bet HaShoevah 5 days, and sometimes 6 days. If the first day of the holiday came out on Shabbat, so you have Shabbat and Yom Tov is the same day, so they would blow it the rest of the 6 days. However, if the first day of the holiday was not Shabbat, so you have the Isur of Yom Tov on the first day, then whenever Shabbat comes on Chol HaMoed, and therefore you only have 5 days left to blow the Halil. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Zehu Halil Shel Beit HaShoevah. This is referring to the flute. Now the reason why they picked the flute, because that was the most noticeable outstanding instrument that they had, but they had other instruments as well. She'eno doche lo et Shabbat velo et Yom Tov. It is not doche Shabbat Yom Tov. Rashi, ha'chalil chamisha v'shisha, pa'amim shu shisha yamim, pa'amim chamisha, v'zehu ha'chalil shayu mehalilin lerabot simcha lebet ha'shoeva. Bet ha'shoeva, kol simcha zu ena ele b'shvin nesuch ha'mayim. The whole purpose of the simcha was for the drawing of the water, kedichtim, the paresh v'shavte ha'mayim, v'sason, she'eno doche. Hilkach, therefore, hal yom tov liyot b'shabbat, if yom tov fell on Shabbat the first day, pas shalu shisha, cholo shel moed, you have 6 days left to cholo moshoed, nimsa halil shisha. Hal yom tov b'chol, after yom tov fell on a weekday, havlu tere yome, you have 2 days that you don't blow, Shabbat v'yom tov, telo da'chelehu, pas shalu hamisha, so you left with Hamisha. Comes the Gemara and says, Itmar, we have a statement. Rav Yehuda v'Rav Ina, Had Tani Shoeva. Some has the text in the Mishnah, Simcha Bet HaShoeva, v'Had Tani Hashuva.
Amar morzutra man netani shoeva lo mishtabesh. The text that has the word shoeva is not inaccurate. Uman netani hashuva, the opinion that calls it the simcha hashuva lo mishtabesh is also not inaccurate. Why man netani shoeva lo mishtabesh? The reason why the opinion that says shoeva is not mishtabesh. Dichtiv ush abtem ma'im besason. It is actually the drawing of the water. Hence simcha beta shoeva. Uman netani hashuva lo mishtabesh. The amar of Nachman mitzvah hashuvahi. That this mitzvah, the drawing of the water, is a special, important mitzvah. Bereshit, and already has its roots in Shesh Shemim Bereshit, like we learned in yesterday's daf, right, when it said Bereshit Barashit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created already the shitin, which is the drays that went under the tohom of the ground for the nisuk hamayim. So that's considered mitzvah hashuvana. She says, "Damlan le'el shitin nivreu meshesh shemim bereshit lekabel hanesachin," and therefore, no matter what text you have, either Simcha Bet HaShoeva or Simcha HaHashuva, either one is proper. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita, Echalil Dohe Et HaShabbat. New opinion. This opinion says that the blowing of the flute indeed is overriding the Shabbat. Not only is it not Dohe Shabbat, but even the lighter Isun, which would be Yom Tov, it also is not Dohe. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef tries to define the Machaloket Rabbi Yosef and Hakamim. Machaloket Beshir Shel Korban. What were they discussing over here? They weren't discussing Simcha Bet HaShoeva. The machloket over here was by the song that they would sing by the Korban. Rashi says, what is the song that they would sing by the Korban? Beshir Shel Korban Behalil HaMakel Lefnei HaMizbeach B'Sha'at Nisu Chayayin Letamid Shel Sha'ar V'Nisu Chayel Letamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Every day there was Nisuch HaYayin. Nisuch HaYayin was done in the morning when they would do the Tamid Shel Shahad, and it was poured again on the Mizbeah in the afternoon when they did the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Shalivim Omdim Al Dukhanam. And at that point, the Levim would stand on their stage or platform. Ve'omrim Shir. They would sing special songs. Ve'ahalil Makil Lifnehem. And they would have instruments. Kedetav Vasechet Erchin. Be'yud Bet Yom Beshana. Halil Makil Lifnehem Mizbeah. Which means 12 days a year. It wasn't every day. 12 days a year. The Kabbalah lists the days over there. The Levim would play with music at the time of the Nisuch. Again, the only time the Levi would sing was when they were pouring the wine on the Mizbeah. And regarding that flute, which means regarding the flute of the Korban, meaning when they would pour the wine on the Mizbeah on those 12 days, if it comes out on Shabbat, we have a mahlok in the Rabbi Yosef HaKamim. Rabbi Yosef says, play the music. According to HaKamim, no. Now, what's the logic of it? Rabbi Yosef Savar, Ikar Shira Bikli. The main service of singing, the Levi'im, has to be done with instruments. I mean, the instruments are vital to the song of the Levi'im. Ba'avodai. And therefore, it's integral to the service. And since it's a service, v'dochei Shabbat. We know the service of the Beit HaMikdash is dochei Shabbat. V'arabanan Savri Ikar Shira Bapeh. The main singing is the voice, right? Bepe. They love avodai, and therefore the music is a nice add-on, right? But it's not vital to the service. Ve'ena duhe et haShabbat. Okay, now let's read Rashi for a second. Ikar shira shekorban simur taun shir min haTorah. Now you have to sing Shir at the time they bring you the korban. Because I'm in my second ayirchin, become a mikraot. Besamar miyosa ikar hashir enu alimken halil makay imashir. Vechen kinorot venibalim. Had the violins, the harps, the drums. Hakol kiminyan meforash sham. According to what it says over there, all the instruments. Hilkach avodai vechiyechi the tamid dochei Shabbat. Just like the korban, you could slaughter it on Shabbat. It's dochei Shabbat. Shir shelon named dochei Shabbat. The music and the accompaniment is also dochei Shabbat. And the other rabbi says, Hakem said bepe. Halivim omri mashir devar yom biyomo kikon Hashem haaretz umloa. Like on the first day of the week, they said Hashem asma barishon. On the first day, gadol Hashem umulad b'shiri vechen kulam u'bishabbat sheyefshar lehalil. But on Shabbat, let's say where they were, they also had a Shir Shel Yom, but they were not able to play the flute. Because the Kli Shir is really not the Mitzvah, and therefore it's not Dohe Shabbat. But the Gemara says, Shir Shel Shoeva. The songs they would sing at the time that they drew the water, everybody agrees that that's not vital.
By the water.
By the water. which is everybody agrees by the drawing of the water on Sukkot, that it's nice to have the music, but that's just for additional happiness, but it's not the service, the Avodah itself, and therefore it's not going to be Doheh, not Shabbat, and not Yom Tov. Rashi, about Shir Shil Shoeva, Shaya Kola Laila, the whole night, Al Ma'alot, Yerodot Me'azat Nesir, Azat Nesir, there were steps that we're going to learn.
Right.
That went from the Ezat Yisrael to Ezat Nashim, and the Levim would stand there on the steps with their instruments at night when they drew the when they had the ceremony for the drawing of the water. The V'reakol Simcha Yeterai. Everybody agrees that it's Simcha Yeterai min Torah. That's really not part of the mitzvah. Just enhance the mitzvot. Ve'lo da'che Shabbat. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Mina amina de'bapini. How do I know that that's their argument? Which means you're interpreting the Gemara, Rav Yosef. You're telling me the mahloket is b'shir shel korban. And what's the mahloket? Is the shir of a korban, is it integral to have music? Or is it integral just to have peh? So the Gemara says, how does Rav Yosef know that that's the machloket? Netanya, which we actually have a braita. Kli sharet sha'asa'an shel etz. You have a kli sharet, it's one of the vessels, the instruments, that you made it out of wood. Okay, a wooden instrument. Rabbi posel. Rabbi says the instrument is pasul, but Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda is makshir. Says it's kosher. Now what's the machloket? Mm-hmm. This is the machloket. Man the makshir, the opinion that says you can have a wooden instrument, savar ikar shira bichli. He'll hold that what the main singing of the Levim must be accompanied with instruments. The alfinan me abuba de Moshe. And we're going to learn from the flute of Moshe. And we know that the flute of Moshe was made out of wood. And therefore, if you tell me that Ikar Shira Bikli, so I know that Moshe's flute that they use for the songs, it was made out of wood. And therefore, you're able to use wood. Uman de Pasil. But the opinion that says you can't use wooden instruments, savar ikar shira bapeh, he says the main singing is vocal. Therefore, you cannot learn from the flute of Moshe, because Moshe's flute was not ikar. Moshe's flute was not a vessel of integral vessel, and therefore, as she says, look at Rashi, man de makshir, look at Rashi, man de makshir etz.
Right.
Which means now every instrument is considered sanctified. The avu bayab mikdash bimot Moshe. It was a flute in the mikdash in the times of Moshe. The ushel kane was like a reed. Kedetam be'ayrchin hilkach shar kli sharet minay yafin lachshunem b'sharet. Just like Moshe was kli sharet. So then you can make your harp out of wood as well. You can make all the any instrument that you want can be made out of wood, because we know it's a considered cliche that Moshe's was made out of wood, definitely made out of wood. However, the other opinions are no, ikar shira bapeh. V'chli the basume kala ba'alma. All the kli is just to come to sweeten up the song. Hilka kli ashir enan kli sharet. Then what's that considered kli sharet? V'lo yalfinan minayu l'dimuye kli sharet le'avuv shel Moshe. Therefore, you cannot compare the kli sharet to Moshe's, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's was not kli sharet as well, because the music is not coming. So what is this opinion going to hold? This opinion is going to hold that when you're making a vessel, made out of metal. When you make a normal instrument, you make it out of metal.
Not
wood. Which means, if you're telling me that it's kli sharet, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was kli sharet as well, so I said, okay, bottom line, you see it was kli sharet, Moshe Rabbeinu had a wooden flute, so therefore wood is considered kosher for a instrument, therefore no problem. But if you hold that, nah, instruments are nothing with kli sharet. And therefore, don't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's flute, because that was also not a kli sharet. Oh, so therefore, what does the instruments have to be made out of? No, an instrument normally is made out of metal. That has to be the normal structure of the instrument itself. Okay. Amar, reading the Gemara one more time. Now inside, Amar of Yosef, Mina Amina. How do we know the bat? Believe that that's the machloket. If ikar shira bekli or ikar shira bepe, the tanya of a braita. Kli
Klisharet, you have a vessel in the Bet HaMikdash. Sha'asa'an shirah, it's that you made it out of wood. Rabbi Posel, Rabbi says that it is pasul, invalid, which means according to Rabbi, all the klisharet in the Bet HaMikdash must be made out of metal. Then Rabbi Yosef says, no, klisharet can be even made out of wood. Now, what's the source of this machloket? Man, the machshir, the opinion that says what? That vessels can be made out of wood, even in the Bet HaMikdash, all klisharet. Savar, he holds ikar shira bichli. That what? That the ikar shira is bichli. Which means that you can, the integral to the singing is the instrument. Now, v'yavfina ma'avuba de Moshe. That means Moshe's flute was not just stama flute, it was considered a kli, sharek, because it was an integral. And therefore, just like Moshe Rabbeinu's flute, which was integral, was made out of wood, so therefore any kli sharek in the Bet HaMikdash could also be made out of
wood.
However, man de pasir, but the opinion that says, no, you cannot make out of wood, sabar, ikar, shirab, bepeh. That the ikar singing is bepeh velo yafina mabubad de Moshe, which is even though Moshe Rabbeinu's flute was made out of wood, but it's not a klisharet. So how could you learn a law of a klisharet from a non-klisharet?
You
can't. The abubad Moshe was not klisharet, and that opinion must hold. Why wasn't it klisharet? Because the ikar is bepeh, and therefore that was made out of wood. That doesn't tell me anything about a regular klisharet. So how will I know that klisharet has to be made out of metal? I learned from the Menorah. The Menorah is another derasha that I make, that just that. So therefore, the Gemara is trying to prove to you that there is a machloket in the world. Is ikar shira bapeh, or is ikar shira bekli? And where do we see this machloket manifest? We see the machloket manifest by, can you make other kli sharet in the Bet HaMikdash made out of wood? If you hold, you can. So that means, what's your source? Where do you see a kli sharet that was ever made out of wood? Uh-huh. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu's flute.
Okay, but
that's only if it's a kli sharet.
Right.
And that's only depending if you're going to hold that ikar shira the kli. But if you hold that, no, you can only make them out of metal. That means Moshe Rabbeinu's flute, even though it was made out of wood, it wasn't ikar kli sharet. Because ikar kli ikar is bapeh. And therefore, you learn from the menorah, that's even out of metal. So therefore, you see, Rabbi Yosef's interpretation is correct, because we have a machloket between Tanaim, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. That's the way they learn. It's actually Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, the exact rabbi in the first brayta that we quoted. Gemara says, lo, no, that's not the way to interpret the machloket. I'll tell you, everybody holds that ikar shira bichli. And really? Technically, then Moshe Rabbeinu's flute was considered kli sharet.
Oh, maybe it was
so
wood.
Seemingly, and it was wood. Everybody should know that kli sharet should be
wood.
Legal to be made out of wood. Gemara says no. Ve'acha bedanin efshar mishii efshar kamepalger. The machloket over here is, can you learn something that's possible from something that's impossible? Meaning, man de machshir, the one that says you can make all kli sharet out of wood, savar danin efshar mishii efshar, that you can learn things that are possible from impossible. Meaning, a flute can only be made out of wood. For a flute to get the best sound, it's got to be wood. So you have no option to make it out of metal. So the flute would be considered an efshar. But now, other kli sharet, you can make them out of metal. But doesn't matter. Once already you see that the flute, even though there was no option not to make it out of wood, you had to make it out of wood, still, you see that a kli sharet can be made out of wood, so now you can learn every kli sharet in the Bet HaMikdash can also be made out of wood, even though technically by other kli sharet they can be made out of other items. Uman de pasir, the opinion that says it's pasul, savar lo darin efshar mishii efshar. No, you can't learn from an efshar case, because the flute, you had no options but to make it out of wood. So you can't learn from there to make the other ones as well. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, "En danin efshar mishii efshar." She'ar kelim efshar shu shel matechet.
Fine.
Ve'en mechubadim, and it's respectful, by the way, if you make it out of metal. Hilkach b'menorah yalfinan lehu. Therefore, I'd rather learn it from a menorah. Just the menorah is made out of metal. Other ones. Ve'lo me'abuv shel Moshe, but not from the flute of Moshe. Why? Te'atam ta'ama mishum shii efshar lasot shel matechet. The only reason why you didn't make the flute out of metal is because you can't make it out of metal. The Gemara tells a story over there. She'tzipaz. Have
One time, one of the kings, they plated the flute of Moshe with gold. But it ruined the sound. It made the sound not sweet. So they took the plating off. Do I find that a cliche that was made out of wood? I don't care if you want to know options, yeah, options. Bottom line, they made the flute out of wood. Therefore, you can make all the cliche out of wood. So what you did is you just rejected Rabbi Yosef.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yosef, you tried to define the machloket. It's ikar shira bichli or ikar shira bepeh. I'll tell you now. Everybody else, ikar shira bichli. Oh, so what's the machloket over here? Can you make the other vessels out of wood or not? That's dependent. Do you learn ifshar? Ifshar. I give you an alternate answer. And I can tell you really, everybody holds that the ikar shira bepeh. Right? And therefore, the flute is not a cliche. Ve'en danin ifshar, mishi'i ifshar. Meaning, and even if you want to tell me that the ikar shira is bechli, even if you want to tell me that the ikar shira is with the vessel, everybody will agree you can't learn from the case of the halil of Moshe Rabbeinu, because en danin ifshar, mishi'i ifshar. Which means that is not the subject of this machloket. Don't involve the subject of ikar shira bepeh or not. Because either I can tell you everybody holds ikar shira bepeh, or if they hold ikar shira bekli, you can't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu anyway, because that's a case of ifshar. Right. So what's the machloket over here? The acha b'melav menora bechlale uprate obribuye umi'ute kamipalge. Now let's go back to some of the principles and how to be doresh the Torah. There's one klal that's called the klal uprat, and there's a one klal that's called a ribui and a mi'ut. Now both of them sound the same, because what does a klal mean? Klal, you have a generality, then a mi'ut comes to minimize, to exclude, and you have a ribui is a generality, then you have a mi'ut. But even though they sound similar, they work differently. Now always, whenever we have a klal prat in the Torah, there's always a standing machloket. Do you learn it as a klal prat or as a ribui mi'ut?
So it's very similar.
So this is, because it's similar, so you always have a machloket, which principle is working. Now what's the nafkamina? So nafkamina is like this. If you learn it as a klal prat, meaning the Torah gives you a generality, then it gives you a exclusion, it gives you a specific. So the rule is, en bichlal ela mashe beprat, which is the generality becomes limited to the prat. Okay. Which means whatever the prat is, that's the case. The prat comes to exclude everything.
Unless it's like that.
Except the case that was discussed, the mi'ut itself. Okay? That's how a klal prat works. However, a ribui mi'ut works differently. Ribui means everything's included. What the mi'ut does, the mi'ut just comes to exclude items that, let's say, are not similar. But items that are similar are still considered part of the ribui. So a ribui mi'ut is more
generally
expansive, more includes more things. Now we have a standing mahloket, not only on this, but regarding a klal prat klal. Now, what's a klal prat klal? How does that work? You have a generality, an exclusion, and then a generality.
Wow.
So now, according to the rules of klal prat klal, we're wrong like this. The klal is including everything. The prat says only the prat. What the klal does, it opens it up a little more and says, no, not only the prat, but things that are
similar to
similar.
The prat.
Yes. Yeah. Now, but a ribui, mi'ut ribui, cannot work like that. Because the ribui is coming to say everything, right? The mi'ut comes and says, well, not everything, but things that are similar. So things that are similar already included. So what is the ribu, what is this last ribui come to include? So now you have to say the last ribui comes to tell us that it's coming to say only it's including everything except items that are totally dissimilar. Only items that are totally not similar at all. And I'll give you an example. So again, you have a klal, prat, klal. The rule on that would be, it's including things that are similar to the
prat.
Prat. Whereas you have a ribui, it's really coming to include everything, right? Because it doesn't have to come include things that are similar, because things that are similar already, I know already. So the, because then I know from the ribui mi'ut.
Right.
So the extra ribui is coming to include even more things, except things that are totally dissimilar. All right, now we'll see, based on this style, by the menorah. By the menorah in the Torah, the Pesukim of the menorah, you have options. Either to learn it through a klal prat style or a ribui mi'ut. And that's going to make tremendous nafkamina. Let's see it inside now. Ve'acha b'melaf menorah b'chlale uprate o b'ribuye mi'ute kamepadge. Rabbi darish klale uprate. Rabbi is doresh, the menorah Pesukim, which we'll see in a minute, in a klal prat style. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Darish Ribui Umi'ut. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Darish Klalei Uprateh, it says, Ve'asita Menorah. Make a menorah. It doesn't say what you can make it out of. That's a cloud. Make it out of anything. Make it out of wood, make it out of metal. Ve'asita Menorah. That doesn't limit it, what you can make it out of. Zahav Tahor Prat. Oh, then it says Zahav Tahor, that's coming to tell me an exclusion. Now according to the cloud plot, if it was a cloud plot alone, you could only make it out of
gold,
that's the prat. Miksha ta'aseh menorah. Then it says again, ta'aseh menorah. Make the menorah. Hazar v'chalal. It came back and added. Klal uprat klal. Now you work with a klal prat klal. E'atadan ila ke'en aperat. So what's coming to include is things that are similar to the prat. And what is that? Ma prat meforash shel matechet. Just like the prat, which is zahav, is metal. Av kol shel matechet. So to all kli sharet could be made only of metal. Doesn't have to be gold, but it can be metal. But again, because it's working with a klal prat klal. No, but you're not following how a klal prat klal works. A klal and a prat says only the prat.
Correct. So only gold would be metal.
Correct, but it's not a klal prat. It's a klal prat klal. The second klal comes along and says even more things. But more things that are similar to the prat. Just like the prat is meforash, metal. So too, that's why the B says that all kli sharet can only be
metal.
Nothing to do with ikar keli bashir. Nothing to do with learning from Moshe Rabbeinu's flute. Leave that. The subject is how do you learn the pasuk of menorah? Now, Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, darish ribuye umi'ute. He learns those same words. Vasita menorah, mikshah zahav, ta'aseh menorah, not as a klal prat, as a ribui mi'ut. And therefore, vasita menorah riba, meaning everything. Zahav ta'or mi'et. Now zahav ta'or, when we say mi'et, it limits not only to zahav, it limits it to things that are similar to zahav. So already at that point I know metal. Mikshah ta'aseh menorah hazar v'riba. Now it's coming to even include more things, wider range. Riba umi'ed v'riba, riba hakol. It's coming to include everything, not only metals. My rabbeh, rabbeh kol mile. Everything, even wood. Now, my mi'ed, so bottom line, what did you exclude? Mi'ed shel hiris. The only item that's not similar to anything, because that you won't even use for a personal item, you're not going to make out of pottery. So therefore, it's coming to exclude that. So basically, that's the whole machloket over here regarding kli sharet.
That you learn.
The machloket is how do you learn the pasuk of menorah? Now let's read Rashi. Rashi.
How do you learn that with pottery, Rabbi?
The Gemara says, "Mi ayet shel chayres."
Nothing, but how did they learn that?
You'll see. Rashi says in the bottom. Rashi, "Da'al korach mi'uta le'mi'ute ata ve'zero le'betiot minakol." More than any other item, that's the cheapest item. So if I'm going to ma'et something for the service of the Beit HaMikdash, take the cheapest item, the least important item, which is going to be chayres. Now, let's just read the Rashi together to learn the dynamics of klal prat klal and ribui mi'ut. Even though we spoke it outside, let's read it in Rashi. It's the third line after they get white. ואחה במלאף מנורה בכללי ופרטי ובריבויי מורתי כמפיק הקסיר ולא גסיר במנורה פיין יש שדורשין את התורה בכלל ופרט ויש שדורשין אותה במידת ריבוי ומיעוט הדורשה בכלל ופרט משמע לפרט הבא אחר כלל a plat that comes after a כלל פירושו של כלל it's defining the כלל meaning whatever the plat is that is the klal hilkach klal uprat en bechlal ela mashe beprat. That's why the principle is when you have a klal prat, the klal doesn't include only what the prat is. Va'afilu devarim adomim lefrat en nedonin emo. Even things that are similar are not going to be included. Lefi shu pirusho mahu klal akalul lema'la. What is the klal including? Ze she'ani omer lecha akshav velo yoter. So that's how a klal plat works. En bechlal ela haplat. Meaning in the menorah case. Ba'asita menorah, then it's a zahav. If it would end there, you can only make a menorah out of zahav. Now, v'chi'ate klal sheni, when the second klal comes, ahad aprat, ba lehosif alav. Now, what is it coming to add? V'dayecha im tosif alav et adomim lo. Only include things that are similar. Hilkach, אי אתה דן על ידי כלל אחרון, אלא הדברים הדומים לפרט, שלא נתרבו מתחילה. Which means when you learn כלל פרט, כלל, take the menorah case, once already the end says, make the menorah out of anything, well, not of anything. Because at this point, I only know gold. So the second klal is going to come include things that are similar to gold, which would be metal. Now, bad dorsha b'ribuy u'mi'ud. But if you learn these pesukim in the ribuy mi'ud, lo mashma le. Prat haba achar klal, pirusho shel klal. They don't learn that the prat that comes after the klal is interpreting the klal. To say that it's only limiting the what the prat is. Wow. The first ribuy is coming to include everything. So the prat comes and says what? To say what? Only things that are similar. Don't think it's ribuy everything. I mean, let's apply that to the menorah case. The menorah said va'asita menorah. Make it out of anything. Make it out of plastic. Okay. Make it out of anything. Then it comes in. No, zahav. Similar meaning only metal. Similar to zahav.
Fine.
So you see, it's more flexible than a ribui mi'ut than a klal prat. Now, v'chiyadar at ribui aharini. Now, when the second ribui comes along, ahan ribui kol mili. Now I come along and say not only things that are not that are similar,
everything.
Even things that are not similar. For example, wood. De'el devarim shekena prat lo tzadik. I don't need to include things that are similar. Similar already was learned from the prat. Therefore, the ribui is coming to include even things that are not similar. De'lo emiritu lemiutav achi amar behed perek nekbaradin. So therefore, you see over here two distinct ways of learning, and they say that's the mahlok between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi. If you're allowed to use other materials to kli sharet, how do you learn the pesukim by the menorah?